That is.
That is.
Eva.
Indeed.
Nehema. All regulative principles. Satchat. Directly. Te.
That is.
Eva.
Indeed.
Cha. Also. Yama Uttamaha. The best process of controlling the senses. Tapaha. Austerities. Dhanam.
Charity.
Vratam. Observing vows. Yajnaha. Sacrifice. Yena. By which process? Tushyati is very pleased. At Hoksajaha,
the Supreme Lord,
who is not perceived by material senses. So translation. This is the best process for pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead known as Adhoksaja. It is the best of all regulative principles, the best austerity, the best process of giving charity, and the best process of sacrifice. Phew. I can repeat. This is the best process. For pleasing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead. Known as Adhoksaja. It is the best of all regulative principles.
The best austerity.
The best process
of giving charity.
And the best process of sacrifice. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Lord says in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, text 66, Sarva Dharman Padachajam Amakam Sharanam Vraja Hum Tong Sarva Bhavi Bhyo Moksha Yashyami Ma Shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Unless one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to His demand, no good result will come from any of His actions. Dharma, sunishtha, kumsam, visvaksa, nagatasa, ya. Notpadya, yadi, ratim, shrama, eva, hi, kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction to the message of the Personality of Godhead. From the Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, Text 8. If one is not interested in satisfying Lord Vishnu, Vasudeva, all his so-called auspicious activities are fruitless. Mogasya moga karmano moga jnana vicheshta saha. Because he is bewildered, he is baffled in his hopes, baffled in his activities, and baffled in his knowledge. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti remarks, Na pum sakkam anapum sai kene tiya dinai katvam. One cannot equate the potent and the impotent. Among modern Mayavadis, it has become fashionable to say that whatever one does, whatever path one follows is all right. But these are all foolish statements. Here it is forcefully affirmed that this is the only method for success in life. Ishvara karpanam vina sarvam eva vipolam. Unless Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all of one's pious activities, ritualistic ceremonies, and yajnas are simply meant for, are simply for show and have no value. Unfortunately, foolish people do not know the secret of success. Nate vidhu swartha yatim e Vishnu. They do not know that real self-interest ends in pleasing Lord Vishnu. Nice. Taiva Niyama Sakshat, Taiva Cha Yamottamaha, Tapo Danam Ritam Yagyo, Yena Tushat, Yathok Sajaha. Om Ganat Midandashad Nanjana, Shilakaya Chaksur Minitam Yena, Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, we've come across the best process for pleasing Krishna. Interesting. The best process of regulating the senses. The best process of austerity. The best process of charity. The best process of vows and sacrifice. Wow. So we should study this chapter very thoroughly and execute this Payavrata now, right? If it's the best, why not? So starting tomorrow, which is the Dwadasi, we should all just drink milk tomorrow. How's that sound? A few other things, you know, worship the deities, drink milk. No, that doesn't count. No. Just milk. Just milk. So everybody should just follow this. So does this mean, the point I'm making, does this mean that we should all follow this process since it's described as the best? No. It doesn't mean that. Because we have to understand the essence of the process. The essence of this process that's being prescribed to Aditi. And of course, Aditi wants a son. And there's nothing wrong with that, because she wants a son who's going to help her sons take over, or take back the heavenly planets. The essence of this process is that for her, this particular process engages her 100% in Navabhakti. What is Navabhakti? Navabhakti is the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, and ultimately coming to the point of surrendering everything. So this is specifically tailored for her, this process. So different injunctions, as they say, different shlokas for different folks, but different injunctions apply differently according to people, whether they're in a particular varna, whether they're in a particular ashram, and even so, they're individual, and according to time, place, and circumstance. So one has to understand this principle in order to apply Krishna consciousness. For example, Krishna did not give the Payavrata ceremony to Arjuna, interestingly enough. And Lord Kapiladeva didn't give it to his mother, Devahuti. So would we say that he didn't give them the best process there? No, because for each and every individual, there is a specific application to fully engage them in Krishna consciousness as described by Rupa Goswami. The first rule of devotional service is to always remember Krishna, right? And the second rule is to never forget Krishna. So that means the spiritual master, and in this case, of course, we have the traditional spiritual master of the wife would be the husband, of course, in Kali Yuga. It doesn't always apply. Actually, in the other yugas, the woman would not take initiation separately from the spiritual master. The woman would, if she could hear the Gayatri Mantra from her husband, and that was it. She wouldn't approach directly the spiritual master, but in this yoga, it's a little bit different. So the husband is the natural spiritual master. Here is the husband, who is actually giving instruction to his wife, knowing his wife's psychophysical nature. Now that's a very interesting statement, because Prabhupada said that the duty of the spiritual master is to understand the psychophysical nature of the disciple. Now that's two words. Psychology and physical body. You understand? In other words, what is his varna? And that varna applies to the psychology and it applies to the physical body. And the spiritual master engages the disciple accordingly in devotional service. And what's one man's food is another one's poison. I didn't get that exactly right. But anyway, so what is right for one person is not right for the other person. Like, Krishna really chastises Arjuna when Arjuna wants to follow someone else's path, the path of renunciation. He said it's better to do your own duty, even if you do it imperfectly, even if you make mistakes, than to do another's duty, even if you're going to do it better. Now, that's interesting. Why would Krishna say that to Arjuna? Well, he would say that to Arjuna because he wants Arjuna to be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Because even if you do someone else's duty better than they can do it, or someone other varna's duty better than someone in that varna could do it, then you won't be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Your mind won't be absorbed. So the whole point is Vaimana, Krishna, Padaravindiyo. Somehow or other, our minds have to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And we've been speaking a lot about this lately, how devotees, sometimes their minds are not absorbed because they're not engaged according to their psychophysical nature, or they're not aware during their sadhana process of what they're doing, or they don't have an adequate sankalpa. And this is interesting also, we can, in this particular story, where we have Akuti approaching Kashyapa. What's that? Aditi, sorry, I keep confusing. Aditi approaching her husband, Kashyapa. She has a sankalpa. So not only is she engaged according to her psychophysical nature in the process of bhakti, the Navabhakti process, but she is also has a very strong desire. So those two things are important. To have a very strong desire to achieve a particular goal. Very, very important. And of course her desire, her goal, is to get back the heavenly planets, as we mentioned before. So we need to have a very strong sankalpa, desire, if we're going to be focused in Krishna consciousness, apart from the point of being engaged according to our psychophysical nature. So Dhruva Maharaj, he had a very strong sankalpa, desire. Arjuna, he had a very strong desire, you know, to conquer the enemy, to establish religious principles, to even avenge his wife's, the offense against his wife. But it's a very strong desire. So we need to figure out why we're doing devotional service. And it's interesting, in the beginning days of the movement, one of the strong desires that Prabhupada was trying to inculcate into our hearts, apart from the fact, you know, we want to get the hell out of the material world, was to save the world. To actually change the face of the world, or as the Bhagavatam says, to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. I mean, that was, Prabhupada was continually pointing that out to us, continually stressing that to us, that we have a mission. We have a mission. And not just you become Krishna conscious, but you save the world. And Prabhupada was very focused on that sankalpa, that particular mission in his own life. So somehow or other, throughout the years, in many cases, there's been a mission drift. A mission drift means that you forget your mission, or your mission drifts to some other mission, and you become less focused, or we become less focused on Krishna consciousness, or on our goal, on the goal to please Prabhupada, because apart from being absorbed in our devotional service, apart from having a mission, and perhaps even a more important factor is to please the spiritual master. Because if you please the spiritual master, as we hear every day, then Yasha Prasada Bhagavat Prasada, one gets Krishna's mercy. So Srila Prabhupada stressed to us that we should focus on saving people, on changing the world. And in order to do that, we have to apply the same principle that is implicitly, let's see, taught in this verse, adapting things according to time, place, and circumstance in presenting Krishna consciousness. Because if we look at the progress, at least in the Western world, of course, India is a different thing. In India, things have gone on or are going on in an amazing way. I mean, we have so many new temples, thousands of people, politicians who are basically accepting our movement and helping our movement. And, changes are happening in India. But as far as in the Western world, what has happened? I mean, are we actually significant at this particular point? Are we actually significant in the Western world? So we need to revive our focus on this particular goal that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And this will actually help us focus on our own sadhana too. You know, apart from the psychophysical nature, which we have to understand our own psychophysical nature, but to focus on that and to cooperate with each other with that in mind. So this is actually what I get out of this particular verse and purport. Let's see if I have anything else I wanted to say on this. Anyway, so the whole point is to please Srila Prabhupada, engage according to our psychophysical nature, and cooperate with each other to please Prabhupada. So anyway, keep it short. Any questions or comments? Give you 15 minutes for questions and comments. One more verse? Should I finish it up? Okay, we'll finish it up real quickly. Tasmadi tadvartam padre priyata shadaya chara bhagavan paritushtaste varanashu vidasyati. Therefore, my dear gentle lady, follow this ritualistic vow, strictly observing the regulative principles. By this process, the Supreme Person will very soon be pleased with you and will satisfy all your desires. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Executing the Payo Vrata Process of Worship. So, questions? Purvaji. Yeah.
It's on the Srila Prabhupada's expression here. And actually, the verse says in verse 69 how the best process is to place the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, how the verse says, it's the best process of placing the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yes, and for Yeah, for Akuti, this was the best, let's say, process for achieving that particular goal. That was the point I was making. The Payavrata ceremony for her, Payavrata vow, because that's reiterating vow and vrata, was the best process for her, for pleasing the Supreme Personality. Got it. So, and yeah.
This process that Aditi followed is aiming at something that's not pure devotional service.
Hmm.
And so the group also wasn't aiming at something that's not pure devotional service. So how do we dovetail this aiming at something which is, it's a great desire, into what Prabhupada wanted us to do, is become pure devotees?
Well, Krishna does say in the Gita, Chatur Vidha Bhajanti Mam, that we come, if we're not already pure devotees, and I haven't met too many right now, if we're not pure devotees, we come for material or ulterior purposes. We're coming because we want wealth or freedom from distress, just like here, you know, Aditi. Aditi is coming because she's in distress. What is her distress? That her sons have actually been taken away from the heavenly planets, and the demons have taken over. So all of us come for these various reasons, and this is an impetus. So we have to use our, let's say, even impurities to give ourselves an impetus to perform devotional service. And there's this typical example that I give, or have given many times, where a devotee said to Prabhupada, I simply want to please you birth after birth. And Prabhupada said, no, you should want to go back to Godhead. Now, wanting to go back to Godhead, or the desire for liberation, is not a pure desire. You know, mukti, siddhi, kam. Sakalaya shanta, Krishna bhakta, nishkam, adeva shanta. So, if one wants mukti, or siddhi, you know, some power, that is not pure. But Prabhupada encouraged that without a particular devotee because he knew that devotee's heart. And, you know, Prabhupada even said, I mean, this is an amazing thing because it doesn't apply to anybody here, especially we only have one brahmachari in the room. That Prabhupada said, join the movement, we'll find a nice wife for you. Wow. Perfect, you got a nice wife. Drishti, you got a nice wife. So it worked. Right? Previously you were with Radha Damodar because you did Radha Damodar so nicely, Krishna gave you a nice wife. So, and Apurva, were you married before you came to the movement? Or?
Yeah.
No. So Krishna gave you a nice wife. So, this is not for you. Anyways, that you do your devotionals, if that's your desire, Prabhupada actually said that, come and join the movement, we'll give you a nice wife. You know, what kind of desire is that? You know, Hare Krishna, one wife, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram Ram. I know I got the mantra wrong. But, and of course we have these other things, immediate relief from all distress. I mean, look at what Rupa Goswami says, beginning of auspicious, immediate relief from all distress. Which is true. But what do the gopis say? The gopis say, I was just reading this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if our distress, I'm just paraphrasing it, if our unhappiness is your happiness, then our happiness is your happiness. If our unhappiness is your happiness, then our unhappiness is our happiness, or something like that. In other words, whatever pleases you, that Krishna, you may crush me or by your embrace. You may leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You're completely free to do anything and everything, and you will remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. This is a very high level. You know, if you tell people when they're first joining the movement, this has to be your mood when you're chanting, they'll say, not such a good idea, or, you know, we need another movement, or I have to join another movement, or something like that. So there has to be some impetus And we have to be honest internally. A devotee has to be... Of course, you know, if we see these different desires in our heart, and my experience is that as we progress in devotional service, we become more aware. Like Prabhupada said, when a devotee went to him and said that, it seems like I have more material desires after I chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said it's like cleaning the room. He gave two examples. It's like sweeping the room. When you start to sweep the room, the dust starts to fly. Another example Prabhupada gave, it's like making ghee. When you make ghee, the impurities rise to the surface. So in both cases, you become more aware. And then when you become more aware, you become, I guess, a little embarrassed. And then you start to pray to Krishna more to purify you from these things. Like Dhruva Maharaj, when he achieved perfection, he was actually embarrassed by what he was looking for before. He said, I was looking for some piece of the broken glass, and now I have found a beautiful gem or a wonderful diamond. So, so the point is that, yes, we have these different desires, and we can use them as an impetus to be Krishna conscious. Not that we want to increase them. It is offensive to maintain material attachments, but to have them is not offensive. To be aware of them is very good. If we're aware of them and we pray Krishna that, you know, Krishna, I really want liberation. I really want to get out of this material world, but I know it's not the highest, but still, you know, I have to admit, I want it. Then it becomes an impetus to performing devotional service. But you don't increase it. Increasing desires is accomplished by association, bad association, you know, karnam guna sangasya sadasad janma jonishu. By association with the gunas, one gets more entangled in this material world, according to the Bhagavad Gita. But, yes, we should be aware. Embarrassed, yeah. But also, you know, Krishna, this is in my heart. And so it helps one advance. I mean, that's what I've seen. Otherwise, why would someone come to Krishna consciousness? Chatur vidha vajanti mam. Unless they had that impetus. You know, you're looking for knowledge. You're looking for liberation. You're looking for... you're inquisitive. Or any of those four different reasons. Why else would you come to Krishna consciousness? Unless you're a pure devotee, and then you'd already be Krishna conscious. Right? So each and every one... I mean, so many times I hear devotees say that, well, I came to Krishna consciousness because I was greatly advanced in devotional service. I was a great yogi in my last life. Maybe they were. But we should be honest with ourselves. I came to Krishna consciousness because basically... I was looking to eat something. I was looking for freedom. I was in distress. I wanted to understand the absolute truth. Yeah, that's all right. Just be honest with yourself. Does that make sense? I think we require more honesty, internal honesty, as far as, you know, what we want, what we desire. I'm not advocating praying to Krishna for some mundane thing, but Krishna, it does say in the Bhagavatam, ma kama sarva kama moksha kama daradi tivraina bhakti yogeni asheta purusham param. Whether you're full of material desires, free of material desires, or desirous of liberation, you should perform enthusiastic, forceful devotional service. This is what Krishna says. And then we have so many examples. So many examples of this in the Bhagavatam and other stories like that. So, yes, Gopi.
Was thinking about
the mic. The
mic. So then, is it that introspection is the key to internalizing our devotional life?
Well, it's part of it. The other parts are being aware why you're doing something, you know, that is introspection. What you're doing, in other words, being attentive, because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, that all the offenses are due to inattention while chanting. You know, just being attentive while you're doing what you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're doing it, you know, why, what, how, etc. That's the key. You know, what is my consciousness like? What is my motivation? Why am I doing this? Who am I doing it for? What am I doing? Being connected. We spoke about this in a previous class. That if you saw Prabhupada, and you can still see him in the videos, you'll see that he was always very much connected to his purpose. I mean, Prabhupada was always connected to that purpose of saving the world, making the world Krishna conscious. Even though Prabhupada, you know, he was eating prasadam sometimes, even joking with the devotees, but he was never disconnected from the goal of Krishna consciousness. So it's important for us to be always connected to perhaps our goals, but ultimately to Srila Prabhupada's goal, which is to save the world. When I joined the movement, the devotees were very much focused on saving the world. Now it's, you know, it's a little bit different. I was just reading, or I just heard a conversation that Lokanath Maharaj had with Srila Prabhupada. It was very interesting. And Lokanath Maharaj, he had just taken sannyas. And he said to Prabhupada, I've just taken sannyas. I don't know the books that well. I just want to go to Vrindavan to sit down for, you know, like 6 months and study. And Prabhupada said, no. You go and preach and you study where you are. You know, so I'm not saying it's wrong to go and study in Vrindavan. That's not my point. But Prabhupada was just very much focused on the emergency situation in which the world was, and also emergency situation in terms of how little time Prabhupada had on the planet, etc. But just to accomplish as much as possible in bringing people to Krishna consciousness, rather than just, you know, sitting down. Actually, Prabhupada said, we want devotees who are like Arjuna. We want fighters. Not just sitting down. Not sitting down. We want. And that's even Prabhupada in the end of his pastimes. He said, give me the benediction, you know, dying on the battlefield, basically. He went to London. Basically, he was, you know, just like bones, skin and bones. Any of us, if we were in that condition, we would have just been lying in the hospital bed, groaning. You know, please give me some morphine. Right? Please, to allay the pain. But Prabhupada, he was just so focused on his goal. He just, in spite of that condition, he came to the Western world. Yes, in Purva.
You mentioned this morning, mission direction, and you spoke a lot about how we can individually make a difference here, pleasing the spiritual master, becoming pure in our own life and our own settlement. So can you speak a little bit about what we can do collectively as a movement to stay focused on it?
Well, just first of all, think of the mission statement of Srila Prabhupada. Think of the purposes of ISKCON, and then ultimately the vision. You know, what was Prabhupada's intention? You know, Prabhupada's intention was to change, create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an I keep repeating this verse from the Bhagavatam. Create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. In other words, change society. Not be successful until the Supreme Court justices are wearing tilak. Something like that. Until the President of the United States, bless his heart, is a devotee. Not to be satisfied until people are chanting, until the stadiums are full of people chanting the Maha Mantra. That, I mean, that's, if we keep that focus, and that we cooperate. That's our goal. Then we'll be willing to put aside some of our own personal interests in order to accomplish that goal. But if you ever say, I'm a gobbled here, I take a hard for another. Anyway. Saved by Radha Gologananda.